let's get right into it. Let's get right into the word. We welcome all of you that have joined us online. We had a powerful time in praise. Hallelujah together. And we welcome you online. And we thank you so much for taking time out to view this and worship with us and receive the word together with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to let us know that you're watching. Make a few comments. Let us know that you're there if you can. And, of course, check in and give us a wave. Give us a text if you're new. And we welcome you that you've joined together with us. Praise God. We're talking about praise and worship on Wednesday night. And we're going to be continuing to talk about it through the month of January in 2021 as the Lord directs. And tonight we're going to talk about the progression of praise. The progression of praise. That's our subject tonight. The progression of praise. So we're in our series entitled The Purpose and Power of Praise and Worship. And we'll begin reading from 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. That's us. If you're born again believer in Christ, follower, that's you. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You belong to a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's who we are. His own special people. You know, God's got his own special people. He's not claiming Republican or Democrat as his special people. He's claiming us as his born again children, redeemed and washed by the blood, as his own special people. What is his own special people? We get to proclaim that we may complain the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Hebrews 13:15, in the New Living Translation, it says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. A continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, and really no matter how you feel or what's going on in your life at the moment, it's always appropriate. And I know heaven always appreciates it when we offer the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Amen. And so we have to get to where we have moving up the chain, so to speak, to become praise-aholics. That's one addiction you need to have. The other one's a giving addiction. So be addicted to giving. God will support your habits when you do both. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so you want to be a praise-aholic. You want to be a generous and addicted thanksgiver, too, as well. You want to be kind of one who's very appreciative of God for every little thing and every big thing and everything in between that occurs in your daily life. Praise God. So what is praise? We defined it. We'll just kind of briefly review some of the things we've covered already. But what is praise? Praise includes commending, expressing approval or favorable judgment of, and number three, glorifying, which means especially by crediting with perfection. So it's commending, expressing approval or favorable judgment of, it's glorifying, especially crediting with perfection. Praise by commendation or commending applies the promises of God to your personal circumstances. Now, again, you need to make a question mark. Am I doing this? You need to ask yourself a question. Am I doing that? Am I applying the promises of God to my personal circumstances? Now, if you have a negative circumstance, this is the orders for you, the fundamental praise assignment for you. Is to start applying the promises to your personal situation. Amen. Example, I'll give you a brief example. You're dealing with a challenge physically, say health-wise, or maybe mentally, or just having a hard time sleeping. And so you need the promises of healing to be applied. So you start singing and praising and thanking God that he's your healer, thanking that he sent his word to heal you and deliver you from all, that by his stripes you are healed. Now, I can testify, I've done it several times, where I've taken 1 Peter 2:24 and just thank and praise God for it. Why? Because there's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody around me. But I need it for me right at that moment. So I need to, I praise God. And then I thank him that I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you are all I need. Now, I'm a great singer, but, you know, I'm singing to the Lord. I'm singing directly to him. I'm reminding him of who he is and what he has promised to me. Amen. Praise God. That's commendation. Praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he has won our acclaim or adoration. Now, one of the things that the devil does is he tries to make you forget how God delivered you, rescued you, come on now, blessed you, removed your burdens, destroyed your yokes the last time. So the devil's got you all maniacally focused on this time. This time you're not going to get your healed. This time you're not going to get come through financially. This time you blew it. It's never going to be the same in your house again or in your heart again. And so you're focused on this time. So you got to go back and do some turning your focus or your thoughts toward who? God. Not the situation. Praise the Lord. And that's where you approve. Oh, God, yeah, I remember you did. You something, Lord. You really something. You delivered me last time, and you're faithful to do it again. Amen. I give you permission, Lord. Do it again. It's reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our life and in the life of other people. So if you don't, if you're kind of foggy in your memories a little bit about when's the last time the Lord worked miracles and manifested and moved in your life, then look and listen to the Holy Spirit remind you, look, it happened to so-and-so, brother so-and-so. It happened to sister so-and-so. Because we should be sharing our testimonies, which many sometimes we do, but sometimes we probably need to step up our game in that area. But we need to know what the Lord did for them. He's no respecter of persons. What you done for others. Remember that song? What you done for others, he will do for you. If you broke the other person through, he will break me through. Amen. Too. Amen. Praise God. And so you have to recite those things. So this is thinking through and talking through and thinking through your dilemma. Praising God by glorifying him is simply recognizing and testifying to all the admirable qualities of God. And as we honor God for who he is and the way he has done what he has done for our lives, amen, just like we were praying today, you know, God, he has caused you not to even that plague and virus to come near your body. Man, if you can't nothing to pray, praise God about that. Amen. That he's been faithful to his word in Psalms 91. Amen. And keeping you protected. And then you can extend your thanksgiving because your family did get affected. Praise God. Your family's not impacted by that virus, negatively speaking. Even if they got, you know, contacted by it, they got healed. Thank him. That's a cause to give him thanks. Glory to God. And so as we honor God for who he is and what he has done for us in our lives, we make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So think about this. When we talked about what is praise, what we need to realize is that this is our responsibility. We don't need to skip a day of prayer. We always say, read your Bible, pray every day, grow. But you need to read your Bible and pray and praise every day. Does that make sense? Well, you know, praise is really a form of prayer, but you need to be praising God, not just praying. Praying is very important, but you need to be praising every day. So we all need to be asking ourselves, what did I thank God for today? How did I praise him today? that I give him the praise that's an honor due to him? Did I give praise and honor, the praise and honor due to him? A lot of times we wouldn't be looking so sad or mad or because why? We let the devil have reign over our minds and our emotions. He's intoxicating our soul with his infections. They're not good infection either. They're spiritual viruses and diseases of the conscious and your soul. Amen. Keeping your mouth shut so you won't what? Feel like I don't have anything to praise God for. Because you're basing your praise on what's happening. If you're bitter, if you're bothered, if you're bored, I'm not going to praise God. If you're burdened, I'm surely not going to open my mouth. All right, let's keep going. When are we to praise God? Psalms 34, 1 through 3, Amplified. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. See, praise is to be an everyday part of your life. Amen. I'll underscore that again. Praise is to be an everyday part of your life. You're not supposed to go days without feeding and reading the Bible. You're not supposed to go days without praying, days without praising. No matter what's happened or happening, whether you're having low moments or high moments, your focus is to stay on God. Because when the devil's allowed to break your focus and get you off of God, you're not going to be going through that trial or test or trouble. You're going to be stuck in it. I'm telling you, somebody needs to get that. See, we're not just to wait to church on Sunday or Wednesday night. Thank God we do come, and thank God we do watch, praise God, online. Amen. Before you praise God, but come to the worship service with praise, and we said with thanksgiving, where? In your heart. Somebody's going to create that praise meter. And it's going to determine how full your heart is with praise and thanksgiving. You got to make a faith effort, not just to come to church with your bad feelings and your frustrations and wait for somebody to make you feel better. Because too many people, because what the devil is twisting them up to see, go tell the next person about your problems. Come tell the pastor about your problems. And he'll make you feel better. Well, he's got you living by your feelings and not living by faith. Amen. Amen. If the praise team or the praise and worship team or the singers or perhaps even the music that's played isn't the right kind to make you feel like praising God, then you don't do it. Well, praise the Lord. How are we to praise God? We shared about that a couple weeks ago. Praise is how we make room for God in our lives. So how much room has he gotten? How much room has the Lord God gotten in your life? It depends on how much you've been praising him. Corporate praise is how we make room for God to move and manifest in our church services. There's no such thing, as we said, as hidden or silent praise. Praise requires a what? Heartful faith effort on our part. That means you don't necessarily have to feel it, but you do have to faith it. I didn't say fake it, F-A-K-E. I said faith it. That means you have to make a decision intentionally that I'm going to open my mouth and praise God. I'm going to lift up my hands and praise God. I'm going to glorify God with my church family. Amen. Amen. We're not, that's why the scripture talks about that reference in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. don't forsake the what? Assembling of this. Now, why does it use the word assemble? Well, because assemble means we gather and we connect. But we connect to do what? We connect to communicate praise to God. Amen. And we connect with our faith to God for him to speak to us through the word. Amen. And through the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship thing. Amen. It's a connection thing. And some people say, well, I'm in church, but are you assembled? Some parts of a car could be in a garage, but the car cannot, may not be assembled. So in church, corporately, assembly is required. So he said, don't forsake the assembling. He didn't say coming only. He said assembly. So that means we have an purpose to come. I'm supposed to come with something. I'm supposed to come with at least minimally my heart full of praise and thanksgiving. And I prayed for the service. I'm prepared to add to that service. Amen. With my faith, my focus, and my faithfulness. Somebody say glory to God. Now, some of the things we shared about praising, how do we praise God? We praise God by singing. So you may say, well, I'm not a gifted singer. Well, singing is required. It's a part of praise. Psalms 34:4 says, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. That means he didn't exclude anybody. He didn't say all you gifted ones. He said all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. Sometimes we need to praise God and shout it. Psalms 98 verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord. Why are you shouting? To get everybody's attention? No. You should be shouting joyfully to the Lord. That means you're focused and you're forgetting about yourselves and you're concentrating on him. And you're worshiping and praising him. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice in and sing praises. We are to make a joyful noise as an example. We gave you 10 of those, but I'm just giving you a few. Joyful noise so it can be heard. Psalm 66:8. Oh, bless the Lord our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Heard by heaven, heard by others in the church. I know some people get, well, I don't want to be too loud or too noisy or disruptive. You know, that means we won't praise with abandon. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Sometimes, many times the order day is Thanksgiving. Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with what? Praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, last week we talked about why are we to praise God. Psalms 33:1, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. You get the idea that God likes singing? So it is fitting for the pure to praise him. Fitting, we said, is becoming beautiful. It is comely. It's appropriate. That means it's appropriate for you to sing joyfully to the Lord. Psalms 147 verse 1, praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how what? Fitting. Everybody say fitting. So God's presence in your day is quite important to have with you throughout the day. You and I are not to be living our Christian life and journey outside of the presence of God, outside of the power of God, outside of the peace of God, and outside of the protection of God. So his presence is important. So God, praise invites God to do what? Make room or make your day, as we said. Make your day. So you go back and think about this day. How did God make your day? Psalms 118 verse 24. This is the what? day that the Lord has what? Made. We will what? Rejoice. That means you make a choice to rejoice. And what? Be glad in it. I think some people misinterpret that to mean sad. Or mad. Or bad. No, 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 no. He said, be glad. Be glad. So in essence, no matter what's going on in your life, if you will invite God into your day, how do you do that? Through praise. You invite God into your day through praise. He will fill your life with himself. Amen. Then the words make my day become more than just a cute kind of colloquial saying. They become a reality as God takes the threads of your life and weaves his tapestry. You invite him in. You could imagine maybe too many times in the past we've not invited God into our day. And we come home, perhaps to our family, our loved ones, and we moan and groan and grumble about our day. Now we're getting better at that, amen? We're going to get better at that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I believe it's going to be a time when we come to church, man, it's going to be such celebration. The praise and worship team has to get our attention to keep from shouting and praising God. Okay, we're going to sing a song, but everybody's just shouting and praising God and thanking God. Because we're so excited about God's presence filling up our days, filling up our weeks. Come on now. Come on now, doing great and mighty things in our midst. And so we're going to come in here so elated and so grateful to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not, hey, stand up. Get your hands up. This is where we're going. This is why we're instructed to teach this. God says every church should be like the churches that I've seen and experienced, some in Africa, one in Korea, where they have to actually hammer on the podium with like a judge's gavel. Bah, bah, get the people to quiet down. It's such a roar in the church. The shout of the king is among them. That's, shout the king among them. Like the psalmist said, a shout of a king is among them. Hallelujah. They just boom, boom. They get set down, close, quiet down. We got to move to it. But people don't want to stop praising him. Amen. That's where we're going. Somebody say, glory to God. Praise also invites God to do more good for you. More good things for you. Praise enables or permits God to go to work on your behalf. Why? Because God is our glorious great Father really enjoys, he really delights and enjoys in showing you us that he is even greater than what we've imagined and much more capable than what we've seen. Because the devil will stuff you full of religion and get you in a rut and thinking that, man, God doesn't care. God doesn't know. And it's been a while since you've been impacted or been impressed by the wonder of who God is. So you kind of doubt him. You're kind of depressed about living for him. You may be discouraged for living for him. Because you've forgotten who he is. Because you've never invited him in through your praise. Somebody said, praise the Lord. We're going to do better in 2021, aren't we? Yes. Praise God. People are going to come here running over with experiences of God. Well, let's get to our theme focus here tonight, the principles. I'm going to talk about the principles, portraits, and pairing of praise, which is the progression, We have to learn the principles and the different portraits that particularly the Psalms, reflect and show us about praise and the pairings that they put with it. Because, Psalms is a book of Psalms. A psalm is simply this, a spiritual poem or an ode. We don't take them away because they're in the Old Testament. There's 150 of them that we can apply to our lives. Amen. And so, in Psalm, let me read a few of them just to give you some sampling here. Psalms 118, verse 21. Psalms 118, verse 21. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. And notice the words, I will. He made a choice. It's always a choice. Because the Spirit of God can be moving, and you can just stand there and say, I'm mad. I'm offended. I'm hurt. And because of pride and selfishness and really rebellion, we want everybody else to know how bad I'm going. Got it. And that you won't even appreciate God, even though you're going through a hard time or a rough patch. That's a time where we need to be more loud about our praise and glory and honor to God. But see, we have to unlearn what religion has taught us. Walk around pouting so people can pet you. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! Psalms 119, verse 171. My lips shall utter praise. Whose? He's making it personal. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. I mean, in our daily devotion and Bible reading, we shouldn't just mentally run through it, because you won't get more out of it. You only get out of it what your mind can retain from it. But when you thank God, when you read Psalms 23, like we said, for example, just as an example, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I thank you, Father, that you're my very own shepherd. You're my very own Father. I do not lack. I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. I never lack for money. I thank you, Father, that you're leading me beside the still. You make me lie down in green pastures. You're leading me beside the still, restful, calm waters. You restore my soul. Father, I thank you that you're restoring my soul. You're recovering my life. Amen. Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship towards your holy temple. Notice again, decision. I will. And praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, why were these 150 psalms written? They're spiritual. But we want to be natural. We want to focus on our feelings. We don't want to fire up our faith. We want to focus on our feelings. But these 150 psalms are what? Spiritual. And you see David, who wrote many of them, had to press through his feelings and make a quality decision. I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on now. My lips shall utter praise. Glory to God. Now look at this indication of a progression here. In Psalms 100, verse 4, we read it earlier. We'll read it again. It says, enter into his gates with what? What's the password to get in his gates? Thanksgiving. Break it down. You give thanks. It could be something in the natural, but something based on what God has said in his word. Amen. Like he's your very own father. And I'm your very own child. Thank him. Thank him that the blood has covered you and washed you. Amen. And purged you from all defilement. You thank him. You thank him that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And you declare, you thank him that he's your Lord, that Satan is no longer your Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. So you enter gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with progression. You see, praise. So you got through the gate. Now you go through the courts with what? Praise. Look at the progression, the inference or the implication of a progression. Be thankful where? To him. And do what? Start blessing his name. Bless, one definition of it is, simple definition. bless means to say something good about. So when you say something good about God's name, you just thank him that he's the Most High God. There's nobody, no one besides you, Lord. Nobody bigger than you. There's nothing too difficult for you, Lord. Now, you may be facing something difficult, but you declare and bless his name that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too difficult for you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the mighty God. You're the all-sufficient God. You're the everlasting God. You're the eternal existing God. You're the one who rules the universe. And you can definitely rule over this thing that's trying to ruin my life. I thank you that you're Elohim. You're the creator God. You can create something out of nothing. Cosmos out of chaos. Hallelujah. Psalms 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, where are those orders coming from? They're coming from heaven. They're not coming from your head, and they're not coming from what's trying to handle your life in the wrong way. It's coming from heaven. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we see some big principles and patterns and pairings with these verses of scriptures. I'm going to give you seven things that give us different dimensions or portraits of praise. But we see some things here. Number one, praise begins with a choice, the willing decision to praise God. See, God didn't make us and create us in Christ to be robots. He didn't make us to be, listen to how I'm saying this, religious, where we just go through a routine and we recite and repeat what some man or woman in charge officiating a service is saying. Because it's all just routine and regimented. God didn't create us to be robots. Number two, praise and thanksgiving follows a pattern of progression, so to speak, into accessing and experiencing God's presence. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with grace. So you're going closer to God. You're drawing closer to him. Okay? Number three, praise that reaches God requires listening as well as speaking. Now let me break that down a little bit for you. It requires listening as well as speaking. Now everybody in this room, God has given you 2 ears. And one mouth. Scripture and verse, James 1:19. Let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak. So that means we be quick to hear. See, some people just wait for only the man of God or the woman of God to hear from God. But everybody's singing on the platform, praising worship. Everybody's singing corporately out in the audience or online should be listening. Who are we listening? To our director, to our conductor, the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, then you'll bypass his instructions that will bring your deliverance, your breakthrough, your answer on the other side of your rejoicing or your praising or your thanksgiving. Amen. Everybody. Praise that reaches God requires listening as well as speaking. I'll give you an example of this. Give me an example. There's been several times in my life, in Christian experience, where God said, run. That's a form of praise and shout. You know, one time I was at Raymond, you know, and every time I ran and followed those instructions, those divine instructions, you know, my flesh didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like running, but I needed a breakthrough. I needed a manifestation of God in my life. Come on now. Are you listening to me? But I was here sitting out there, praise her, run. You know, the Holy Spirit's starting to move and manifest because everybody's syncing up. Everybody's hooking up. See, we determine the atmosphere that we set in church for God to come in and the Holy Spirit to move and to manifest among us. We do that. We don't shackle the burden on the praise and worship team or the leaders, worship leader. Amen. We got to get out of that. But if we're going to reach God with our praise, it requires for us to listen and to speak. That means we yield it to praise and sing the way he wants us to. So I'm listening, run. So I run. So I take off running. As soon as I take off running in the natural, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God comes all over me. I'm running. You know, my kids and my wife, my coat used to be like a cape. Be flying up. I'd run around the church. Every time victory came. Every time deliverance came. Now that's just one example. God could tell people, shout. He could tell you to jump. He could tell you to stand and lift your hands up and give praise to my name. But what's most people do? They're closed off. They're looking at everything in the natural. And sometimes people are affected by other people not praising God. Let me talk to you now. Some people are affected because everybody else is looking like they're down in the blues. They've been drinking spiritual haterade all week. I hate my life. I hate this, what I'm going through. Can we be real tonight? Amen. We're the ones with the wet blanket that's got the fire, and we see a little bit of fire, and we want to put it out. Everybody say it requires listening and speaking. If there's going to be times, I'm proclaiming this, there can be time when the praise team was run through their songs, but there's other songs that get faxed down from heaven. Now, when I say facts, I mean the words and the lyrics come right down out of heaven into their spirit. Amen. That's a ministry of a psalmist, psalm, singing songs. What is it? A spiritual poem, an ode. New Testament, we're going to get there in one of these weeks when we talk about New Testament. He said psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sometimes new songs need to be sung. All the songs are not just cornered in the market of the favorite popular Christian groups. Thank God for them. Thank God for what they've done and what they're doing. But that's not the corner of the market. There are songs from heaven that have not been sung. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's times when the Lord has said, sing in the spirit. Well, okay, I had to make a choice to speak, but now sing in the spirit. And singing in the spirit, presence of God came, and then revelation came. I mean, the presence and power of God came. And like it was said earlier, we got to flow. We got to flow. Everybody say flow. You got to flow with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So when you have God's presence, it quenches your thirst. What most people should come to church for, to find God, to connect with God. My God, if all we came is to do our little jobs or to check the block to say we've been to church, then we're missing it. Amen. When we have God's presence, it quenches our thirst. And when you live in his presence, it takes over your whole life. We want people walking out of here God-possessed. God comes to us when we follow his pattern. Now, the pattern, although it doesn't seem, it doesn't follow a strict kind of order, it may be seen in seven, well, I'm going to give you, introduce to you tonight or reintroduce to you, seven Hebrew words used to describe the various dimensions or portraits of praise. They are, the first one is Todah. Should have it there on your handout if you want to follow the handout. It is sacrifices of thanksgiving. Now, this is huge because this is your work. This is kind of like your pre-church work and your arrival to church work. Because if you start putting your hands to work on something and you hadn't prayed and you haven't praised with sacrifices, because when problems come up, because the devil always tries to, devil comes to church, you know that, right? He tries to make people mad or get people off course and get their attitude maladjusted. You get that phone call, you get that text, now you're upset. What should you do? Toda. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. Everybody called out in that area. Don't come running to me. You better be toda over there. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. And these are the result of a conscious choice that takes you beyond our feelings and preferences. Because it'd be nice if everybody came that was scheduled every time. But how many know that doesn't happen? There are many inconveniences and interruptions that the devil will introduce to you coming to church. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And so you have to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank the Lord anyhow. Praise the Lord anyhow. Thank you, Lord, I get the privilege to minister for just one person. That's when you qualify for his presence. When you become thankful, even in spite of all of these problems. See, it causes praise to God no matter what's going on in our life and no matter how uncomfortable we are with the forms of praise the Holy Spirit leads us to. I remember my spiritual mentor and leader, Pastor Mark Hankey, talked about one time he was having a real rough week, real bad week. He's in prayer. He's talking to God, praying in the Spirit. He does his motions, his confession. He's getting ready to go out of prayer. The Holy Spirit stopped him and said, wait. You're not going to dance? Because the Lord wanted him to dance. You know, he said, no, I don't feel like it. No. The Holy Spirit said, the Father likes dancing. Now, he's in the mully grubs. He's having a miserable week. Anybody ever been there? So he had to go back in there and dance. But he said when he started dancing, the presence of God came on him. And he said, oh, he does like this. And he felt better. And, of course, God manifested his presence to him. See, that's why we have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. There should be more dancing at home than what we're doing. There should be more shouting in your shower, in your home, and in your car than what you're doing. This is todaing. All right? Yada. Next one. Everybody good? It means to confess, to praise, thanksgiving with hands extended in adoration. It refers primarily to extending the hands in reverence or worship. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands and thank God right now. Hallelujah. He's given us great instruction tonight. Given us great insights tonight. Concept, greater concept. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we don't always clap for God. Now, you can clap for like victory shout or you can clap with the music. But, you know, saints praise God. This is Yada. Somebody say praise the Lord. And then there's halal. It's a short word for hallelujah, but it's praising with abandon. Praising with abandon. And we talked about that a little bit before, but that means you're not too cute to get ugly for Jesus if needed. Amen. That means you praise him wild and free. Praise God. And you don't care who's looking at you and who's giving the cross-eyed look. It means to shine or to make a show or to boast, to rave. It suggests a sense of foolishness and abandonment in praise. My wife did that beautifully one time. We were in Baltimore, Maryland. the church was New Solid Rock Church then. It's a different church now. I think the name is different. She was down in there, and rarely does this, but, you know, as far as that particular act. And she just ran out, because, you know, God was dealing with her. She ran out and danced all around the front of the church beautifully. It blessed all of us. It surprised me a little bit, but it blessed all of us. And it surprised her. It surprised her, too. That's halal. Praising with abandon. She didn't care who was looking. Amen. But it was for her blessing and benefit. Praise God. And bless us, others in the church, too. Praise God. Somebody said glory to God. This is times when people shout in church, and it spreads all over other people. Because, see, sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, will tell you, you're the first responder here. Now, Mark Hankins talks about the first responders. His mother was. Because he says, the Holy Spirit not moving, sometimes she moved the Holy Spirit. And she just started, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And start lifting her hands, praying, hallelujah. And they said, he said, oh, here you go. Next thing you know, she's running around the church. But see, nobody knew when she was dealing with depression. And she wanted to stay in the bed all day and keep the shades down. And she was pain, in serious pain in her body, because she had a nervous breakdown. But God delivered her from that. And so she knew, I got to stay free through praising God with abandon. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, there's some people won't... This suggests a sense of foolishness or abandonment in praise. Therefore, some people don't get praise God with halal because they're too dignified. You're either too dignified or you're disinterested in abandoning themselves to praise God. You don't see the use of it or see the sense of it. Hallelujah. It's the root word for the word we know as hallelujah, which is translated praise the Lord. This is a way we praise the Lord. Praise God. Then there's Shabak, number four. It's shouting with a sense of triumph. You're just not shouting with hollow praise or shallow praise. You're shouting with a voice of triumph. Amen? This is to address in a loud voice. That means some people say, shh, 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 it don't take all that. No, God's not nervous and he's not hard of hearing. But, you know, he's not afraid of you shouting and praising God. Amen. We call it, last time, Michael Weatherworth called it a shout of faith. Don't never let the devil steal your shout of victory, a shout of praise. Praise God. So Shabak means this. The word includes the words glory, glorify, commend, and extol. So when addressing the Lord with a loud voice of triumph, we commend him for his character. The nature and the command him to fulfill all he has said he will do. We're cheering God on. We're shouting like a fan. I know some of the football team's fans were shouting this week because they won big. Some of us on the other side, we lost, but we weren't shouting. But you know how fans shout, right, when they're in the game. I know there's games tonight going on. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we got to shout like we're a cheerleader. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. I'm not saying say that exactly, but I'm saying we're commending God. We're glorifying him. We're extolling him. Amen. Do it, Lord. We know you'll do what you said you'll do. We know that you will perform your word and fulfill what you have promised. Somebody said, glory to God. So we approach him with Shabbat because we want him to respond to our need. Now, this is a big one because people haven't learned to take praise and turn it into a cure or a weapon. Like they say, some people, some conspiracies, the virus has been weaponized, or things have been weaponized is a new phrase now. But, you know, we need to weaponize our praise sometimes. Amen. We need to tap into the praise core. We do this with Shabbat. Zamar, number five, make music or to sing. That's why music is allowed in church. Should be. This means to touch the strings or part of the musical instrument with the sense of playing it and making music that is accompanied by the voice. It's accompanying the voice. It's not the main voice. We are the voice. We are to be the voice. That's why I always emphasize, we are not to be going to a concert or listening to music. We are to be the concert and become the music. Hallelujah. Thus, Shamar, it has the connotation of celebration with song and music. It's celebration of song with song and music. It's not the orderly box sometimes we try to put it in, like, okay, we're going to sing two fast songs, and we're going to sing two slow songs. We're going to call it praise and worship. But we can go through four songs or six songs and still not get to a place where we're actually praising and worshiping God. We need to get back to that. Amen? Praise God. Barak. Barak means to bless in God. It means to bless God as in an act of adoration. Barak, therefore, carries with it the sense of hushed expectancy and often comes when the Holy Spirit begins to minister, move, and manifest, filling the praise that has been offered. I've been in those meetings. I want us to be in those meetings much more than we're not in those meetings, where we blessing God to a point where the glory of God begins to come, where the moves and manifestations of the Holy Spirit begin to be unfold. Praise the Lord. Then Tehillah. Singing spiritual songs to praise, make laudation. This is spontaneous. Because the songs stop or the singing stop doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wants us to stop. Okay? Some people call it spontaneous worship or praise or freelance praise or whatever you want to call it. But this is really should be under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. Because he's not finished. We may say, well, Lord, the song's finished, but we're not. He's not finished. Hallelujah. So praise starts with sacrifices of a willing heart and a contrite, humble, and yielded spirit. That means you got to put yourself low, put your pride down, and then you got to yield. That means the Holy Spirit comes across your aisle, your seat, and he says, will you yield? That's what he was saying to me when he said dance or run. Yield. And I know that from a military term, you got to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll run. And you take off. It may seem foolish at the point, at that moment, but you take off. Amen. That's why yielding in private helps you yield in public. Amen. So if you don't yield in private to praise, your private praise sessions with God, your personal praise sessions in your shower, in your car, in your kitchen, your bathroom, wherever you're at, bedroom, living room, if you're not yielded in that arena, then it's hard to come into a corporate arena and yield. Because the devil will try to either make you dignified or disinterested. Okay, let me close with these three scriptures. Y'all got something out of this tonight? Let's look at this. I'm going to break it down technically, these verses. Psalms, these are just a few. There's a whole bunch in Psalms. But Psalms 35:18, I will give you thanks, that's Yada, in the great assembly. That means people come in confessing and praising God, not confessing their sin, not confessing their problems. Amen. They're confessing and praising and giving thanks to God. In the greatest simple, I will praise Allah. Short for hallelujah. Amen. Praising with the band. You among the people. Where am I going to do that? With the band, among the people. I'm not going to walk in with shame and grief. I'm going to be free to praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 66, verse 8. Oh, bless Barak, our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise, Teliah, to be heard. Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, Todah, and sing praises, Zamar, on the harp to our God. See the pairings there and the progressions. And then, of course, Psalms 145, verse 10. All your works shall praise Yada, you Lord, O Lord, and your saints shall bless Barak, you. Psalms 92, verse 1, NIV this time. It is good to praise Yada, the Lord, and make music, Zamar, to your name, O Lord, O Most High. Now notice progression. It's always praise and thanksgiving and confessing, laudation, blessing the Lord before the music comes. I want us to catch a clue now. Some people think, well, start the music, and we get so mechanical in church by just waiting until the music comes on. It's like some of the places I grew up in church, you know, some people wait till the organ starts stringing and strumming before they start shouting, because it was based on the organ. The shout should be based on the leading and listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So when we open up, we should be just praising and thanking God and shouting to God with our voice before the vocals and the music comes in. Psalms 149, verse 1. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Amen. Praise Allah, the Lord, and sing to the Lord a new song. And praise Tehillah in the assembly of the saints. Hallelujah. That means we ought to be doing spontaneous praise. We ought to be songs. But see, it's the progression. The Allah comes first, and then the Tehillah comes after. That spontaneous, spiritual song. We get to singing God a new song. Something that gets faxed right out of heaven into our hearts. Or whoever, praise leader or whatever, starts just singing. Somebody say praise God. Come on, let's just lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and praise God. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit instructing us through your word, Lord. Thank you for insights, concepts, understandings of your word, Lord. Hallelujah. So we can be praisers, offer praise that's acceptable and appropriate in your church and in our lives, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for helping us take 2021 and make it a praise, glorifying, and magnifying year. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next year, we will take our praise to the next level, dear Father God. Our praise and worship will go to the next level starting now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah.